at Bauhaus Brew Labs. They're on location, Bauhaus Brew Labs. I'm Drew. That's my co-host, Schmitty.
Hey, hey.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Got a belly full of chili?
Yeah.
Got a belly full of beer?
Yeah.
It's a good night?
It's, yeah.
It's a nice way to wrap up the polar vortex, right? Polar vortex is leaving us today.
I think the combined heat of all our chilies drove out the polar vortex.
If the combined heat of the chilies didn't, the aftermath certainly will. There'll be some climate change happening tonight.
There's a warm front moving in.
As I said, we are here at Bauhaus. Really want to thank them for hosting the chili cook-off for the second year in a row. A lot of fun. It's a really fun event. We're taking donations for Finnegan's Reverse Food Truck. We're taking canned food donations, and everybody's being super generous, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who's come out and supported the event and supported the BeerCast for, I don't know, what is this, our 12th year now?
Something like that. It feels like it.
It feels like forever, let's be honest.
Four and a half years now.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the show's going well. We're planning a trip to Germany. We're going to Munich for Oktoberfest, and you, dear listener, are invited. Just go to the Minnesota BeerCast page, Facebook page.
Yep.
And you can get all the details there of how to sign up and join us in Munich in September. It's an amazing trip. The itinerary's all there. It's incredible. It's going to be pretty epic.
I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. The spots are filling up fast, so don't snooze on it. Get your spot reserved. You can make payments on it, so you don't have to put it all down at once. You can make payments on it, so don't have to break the bank.
That's right.
The nice part about it.
And really, I mean, the value of what you're getting with the airfare and the lodging and the meals and all the itineraries and trips and excursions included, it's an incredible value.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. Let's talk about some beer that's not German. Let's talk about some Minnesota beer. We're joined by Chili Makers and beer makers. Modest, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks for having us.
You bet. We've got
awesome.
John and Dixon joining us. We've got one of our judges sitting in as well, Chef Dan Parker, friend of the show. How you doing, sir?
Oh, fantastic. Full of chili and beer like the rest of us.
So, Dixon, you made the chili that everybody who came through said, whoa, chili number one is hot.
I am a big fan of spice, and
yes, you are.
I decided to showcase that in my chili for the evening. I made a Carolina Reaper steak chorizo chili.
Ooh, that's what that was.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar, the Carolina Reaper is the current world record holder for spiciest chili in the world. And I put two of them in my chili.
So were they were where do you get those?
Carolina.
Dirt.
I actually grow my own chilies in my home and in my garden during the summer months of Minneapolis.
Drew has a similar setup. It's in his closet. He's got lights, the
hydroponic chili.
Yeah. Very similar.
Yeah, same thing. I have grow lights and
tons of nutrients.
Nutrients, yeah. Fertilizers. It's a whole thing. But you can, if you really want to find them, you can find dried pods online and things like that, which are great for chili and whatnot.
Is it difficult to grow chilies in Minnesota? I made a very half-hearted attempt this last season, and I am not a very good gardener, to be totally honest. And I did not have much success as a result. But I've always heard that the hotter the climate, the easier it is to grow hotter chilies.
Yeah, last year was actually my first year ever doing it. I had two different runs that I'd done. The first one, not so good. I learned a little bit. So the second round I did, I got a little bit more from my plants and things like that. But actually, Minnesota's very humid summers help a lot, and the chilies enjoy that. It's just kind of a matter of a combination of sunlight and fertilizer is what I've kind of learned from my experience. And this summer, I'm planning to grow a lot more. And a lot more varieties as well for the next chili cook-off.
So. Yeah.
Already planning for next year.
Well, you know, we haven't heard from the judges yet. I think we're going to reveal the results towards the end of the show. But you guys could be back-to-back champions. I mean,
Modest is the defending champion.
So.
Of the people's choice. Also, beer.
Wasn't the beer in the chili one of the
criteria?
If you're from the brewery, you got to... Yeah.
Yeah, so the only thing that's probably similar from last year's batch is the beer, because I actually ended up using a 2017 Lord Humongous in my chili, which was also 2017 last year. It was the same Lord Humongous that was used, so I used the cellared version of Lord Humongous in the chili, which I feel is even more important than the Carolina Reaper personally. But
what kind of flavors did that add to the chili?
I mean, Lord Humongous, if you've ever had it, is kind of a very dark, thick rye imperial stout.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely added some thickness to the chili. I kind of like soupier chilies. Flavor-wise, it adds a little extra boldness to it. But nothing. I really don't feel like too intense. The spiciness tends to take the show,
Did you taste the other chilies? Where do you put your odds at a repeat? Do you think you're going to hold on to the belt here tonight?
You know, I've heard good feedback. People have been like, it's very hot, but it's very good. Being in Minnesota, I'm always skeptical with my food. Like, when I cook for people, my wife's from Africa, which her father's from Africa, and so she grew up eating very spicy food, and she kind of got me more into eating spicy and spicier foods. So I know that Minnesota people tend to shy away from it.
A little different than the African palate.
A little bit different than the African palate, but I hope that, you know, I don't want to use the word balance, because there's definitely the spice definitely foreshadows a lot of it. But I hope people can at least.
Chili was not balanced.
It was not balanced. I just kind of hope people can respect the heat a little bit, and it does offer something, and it's kind of fun, especially when you're dealing with negative.
You joke that it's not balanced, but you know, it's very easy to make a spicy chili and have just the spice dominate. But you know, there's some balance and there's some skill that goes into making a spicy chili, but a spicy chili where you can also appreciate all the other flavors that are going on.
Well, the nice part about doing a chili cook-off at a brewery is that you get some hot chili, but then you get a nice, cool, refreshing beverage to wash it down with. And you guys brought some cool, refreshing beverages that you've got out in the marketplace that will be out soon. Tell us about what you guys brought.
Sure. I'm not really sure about the beer pairing of peanut butter stouts and chili.
I'm working on a transition here. Why
no,
are you harsh
I'm sorry,
in my
I'm
mouth?
Totally railroaded.
I think that pairing works perfectly.
I mean, everything's a pairing if you're brave enough. We just did a collaboration. We're launching it this week. We had a little bit of setbacks because of the dangerous cold weather. Mm-hmm. We had to halt deliveries one day and then slam them all into 2 days. Our buddies from Junkyard Brewing up in Moorhead, they're really famous for the Peanut Butter Bandit. And we're really famous for the First Call. So what we did was kind of combine those two into.
Seems like a match made in heaven.
Beer. Yeah, absolutely. So what Junkyard came up with was Betsy's Dark Secret. It's a chocolate milk stout with peanut, cocoa, and coffee and lactose.
Can you guys do that forever? Does that have to be like a short-time collaboration thing?
We'll just see how this week goes, I guess. I think they're both fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Our version is Betsy's Bright Idea, which is a blondie milk stout. So blonde color, almost looks like a hazy IPA, but it's packed with peanut, cocoa, and coffee as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that should be a forever thing.
we'll talk to Aaron and the boys up there. Yeah. we'll see what we can come up with.
And is that going to be hitting stores, or you get at the tap room,
yep,
or both?
It's hit stores starting Tuesday, and then because of the weather, we've packed everything back into today, Thursday, the 31st, excuse me, and then tomorrow, the 1st. Okay. So, yep, still it's in stores. Get it while you can.
Well, let's crack a couple open here and have a couple sips during the break. We are up against the clock. Thank you guys for coming out and participating in our second annual chili cook-off. Great job with the chili. The beer sounds amazing.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to try it. And as always, man, great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll be right back with more of the Minnesota Beer Cast right after this.
You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. an iHeart Radio station.
The unemployment rate is at a 48-year low. Most people that want to work are working. If you're trying to fill open positions at your business, you'll have to find your next candidate from the currently employed. iHeart Media can help you spread the word to 93%.
Schmitty, the loser.
Hey, we're not going to reveal the results until the fourth segment, and I let's not be so sure.
Yeah, you feel pretty confident?
You know,
changed it up from last year.
Last year I was not successful. So, if your methods aren't working, you got to change your methods.
There you go.
Now, I was very proud of the chili I did last year. I thought it was a good chili.
It was a good chili.
But it was a very traditional chili. And, you know, we talked on the show previously that I feel that a lot of times traditional chilies don't win because they're just your traditional chilies. People like something that deviates, that sticks out, that's not standard. So we changed it up a little bit this year and went a little different route. We'll talk about that a little bit more later.
That's right.
We'll
have the judges on a little bit later.
Let's talk with Bauhaus about their chili and get
the host of the event. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for hosting.
Our pleasure. Hey, thanks for being here and congrats on the second year of the annual Chili Throwdown.
Yes. It's awesome. You've got your new brewery here, Chris, who, aside from making beer, makes great chilies.
This is actually my first chili ever. And I'm excited to be amongst chili gods. And this was my run-of-the-mill chili. I kind of loosely based it on a recipe I found on Reddit, and I kind of tweaked it here and there and added way too much beer. So maybe that had something to do with how the voting played out, but I think it tasted all right. Your run-of-the-mill chili. And
well, we haven't tallied up the votes yet. So
okay, well you're going to get full off my chili. That's what I'm saying. that's what I can guarantee out of that.
Well, Dan Parker, you tasted all the chilies. Do you have any constructive criticism for Chris's first ever chili?
So, look, legitimately, this is your first ever chili that you made. Yeah, you did a really nice job, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't really say too much because I'm the only person sitting at this table that knows the answer, the results. but yeah, you did a really nice job. I thought I thought there was a lot of like really cool nuanced flavors in there. What beer did you use?
Stargrazer.
Yeah. It wasn't too much. It was great. Yeah. It was really good.
Okay. Yeah, and we're really lucky that we're having the cook-off here. I think everybody can agree that there's been a ton of really great beers to go with these chilies. And I think Stargazer was one. I had a Home Guys Hellas, I think, was a great beer to go along with some of these chilies. Did you have any good beer and chili pairings, Chris or Matt, Dan?
I always like our Sky 5 IPA with chili. I feel like the spiciness, like especially if you have a good spicy chili, the hoppiness of Sky 5 kind of plays nicely on that.
Yeah, I like a good spicy food with IPA. I tend to go like Indian food or like Thai food with the IPA.
Right. I think magical combination.
Yeah.
I like the traditional lager. You know, with the spicy food. It's calm. It's smooth. It calms your palate a little bit. You know, it's a nice crisp way to finish off a good spicy meal.
Yep.
I definitely thought the Stargrazer was the best with all of them today, but I literally could look at this menu right now and pick out a different beer for each one of those chilies that would have paired. We could have done a chili beer dinner here tonight. There's just so much diversity of flavor up there and on the table.
We pretty much kind of did do a chili beer dinner here.
Yeah, I just featured one beer because I've been about three Stargrazers deep right now.
Well, what do you guys have going on new at Bauhaus? I mean, we talked about the chili, but let's talk about the beer.
Yeah, well, you know, 2019 is going to be a year for a lot of new offerings from Bauhaus, a lot of stuff you haven't seen from us before. We've actually already kicked things off with this Taproom Curiosity series we're doing. We're giving the brewers full rein on our new pilot system. Every 2 weeks, we got a new pilot batch coming online. Tomorrow, we're coming up with our first hazy IPA.
Hey,
nice. It's our hazy pale ale. We're calling it, the working title is Justice Magician. That's the pilot batch. If it goes well, we may scale it up to a big, you know, full-scale batch and put it out in cans later this year. But that's just one example of some of the new stuff we're doing here. Every 2 weeks, new beer. You get a punch card when you buy one. If you get four of those pilot series punches, you get a fifth beer free.
There you go. That's like 20% off every beer.
Yeah, so we're going to kind of let the brewers have free reign with this pilot program and just brew whatever the lab dreams up, which is kind of... You know, honestly, it's one of the things that we wanted to do at Bauhaus early on, but we just couldn't figure out how to scale it properly because our minimum batch size on the big system is 30 barrels, and that's kind of a lot of kegs to push through our tap room.
Pretty big pilot batches.
Right, exactly. So this is kind of fun. We have a new space that we can play in and really experiment and try new stuff, and so we're pretty excited about it. You know, in addition to that, we've got a series of one-offs coming up in May, June, and July this year that'll be available in 16-ounce cans. It was previously called the Over the Charts series.
Uh-huh.
It was a bottle series before. It was 750-milliliter bottles. There'll be 16-ounce cans this time around, but just a really fun series of really cool variants of IPAs that we've never explored at Bauhaus before, so we're pretty stoked about that.
Are 750s going away, you think, in the marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, all the packaging trends that we observe, it looks like everything is trending towards cans, and in particular, 12-ounce cans seem to be doing better in Minnesota. That said, you still see a lot of quad packs of tall boys out there on the shelves. They seem to do pretty well still, but I mean, just from our perspective here at Bauhaus, we see the 12-ounce can being a more prominent package in the next year or two.
You think that's shipping weight? Do you think that's storage? What do you think that is?
I think that when the breweries look at their costs on a particular batch, I feel like they feel, at least this is our calculus.
Yeah, of course.
We feel like the consumer gets a better value with six beers of 12 ounces rather than a quad pack of 16 ounces. Because if we were to try to make some of our specialty beers of I can't think of any offhand, I'm sorry, but we've done a lot of financial modeling on what package size makes sense for what beers, and I don't think we could make some of our quad packs affordable in six packs of 12 ounce and vice versa.
Yeah. It makes sense to break it down
from the consumer
size.
End. I appreciate getting six beers as opposed to four.
Yeah, you know, even if it's even a psychological effect,
I think that's a lot of what it is.
Absolutely.
I think that's a lot of what it is. You know, you can. There's a an app that I had on my phone for a while called the six pack equivalent app. You could plug in like a growler or a tall boy four pack or a case or whatever it is, and it'll do the math for an idiot like me to see, hey, is this a good deal or not? If you break it down, what is the six pack equivalent?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting ripped off here.
And for the average consumer that's not a giant nerd with standing there with their phone app out and calculating ounces.
I'm not a giant nerd. I'm just not good at math and I'm cheap.
But the six pack does like have that feel when you look like you're getting two extra units. I always found that, like, especially with the really hoppy beers in a 16-ounce can, I'm not drinking them fast enough. It's getting real warm.
Oh, that's
towards
the worst.
The end of that can. So,
that's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it goes both ways, too. I mean, we tried to figure out how we could offer our current seasonal, our Crop Circus Double IPA, in a six-pack configuration, but the price point would have had to be like $18.99 on the retail shelf.
Yeah.
So that one in particular made more sense as a quad pack.
Yeah.
But yeah, as an overall trend, we do see 12-ounce cans picking up a lot of steam.
What other trends are you seeing in the marketplace? I know you mentioned the hazy IPA. I think everybody's aware of that trend.
Yeah, that's no secret.
What do you think is happening beyond that?
You know what? It's a really difficult thing to try to gauge, because I guess if there's a consistent thread, it's that consumers are interested in anything new.
Yeah.
They want new releases.
And that's got to be, going back to your conversation about your pilot program, that places a lot of value in being able to do these pilot batches and these test runs and get that feedback from your consumers.
Exactly. Yep. That's the whole reason we're doing it is, I mean, it's fun for us to play in our brewing space, too, but we want to see what consumers are turned on by.
Yeah.
We want to see, like, what they want. And it's a good opportunity to try new things. It's also a good opportunity to gauge the market viability of new beers.
Are your customers good about giving you that feedback when they try your
yeah,
something new?
Yeah,
pilot
they are.
Batches?
I mean,
do you hear from them?
We do. I mean, people offer up comments, you know, good or bad, like, when they're tasting it. I mean, that's kind of become a part of the culture now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you, at first, you know, I think brewers were maybe a little bit offended by that honesty, that directness. But honestly, we've come to value it. That, hey, like, here's some honest, unsolicited feedback from the people who are buying our product. Like, yeah, we should take that seriously.
Yeah. I can imagine it would be tough to get some of that feedback, especially when it comes in a very public way, you know, as opposed to being spoken across the bar, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for hosting this again. We really appreciate it. We always have a great time coming out here.
It's our pleasure. We love having you guys here, and this is a great, great night, just like last year.
Yeah, and we're, you know, raising some donations. donations for the Finnegan's Reverse Food Truck. So that's awesome. Everybody's being super generous. Thanks again, man. Great to see you.
Hey, you guys too. Cheers. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
From the Cremation Society of Minnesota Weather Center. Mostly cloudy tonight. Temperatures rising through the teens into the low 20s by Saturday morning. Partly sunny and warmer Saturday afternoon, a high to 35. 38 and mostly cloudy on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels on Twin Cities News Talk.
Man, what a great event.
I know, right? I'm a genius for coming up with it.
You? I'm pretty sure that I came up with this as well as all other great ideas.
You know, I don't recall that at all.
Yeah. Sounds very selective memory. We are joined by another chili master, Bartley from Bent Brew Distillery. We are still joined by Dan Parker.
What up?
Dan, Bartley, guys.
How you doing?
Good. You brought a hell of a chili with you today.
We did. We had one of our good friends, Luke, make it up for us. It is a very unique chili. It's a nice white chicken chili. The chicken itself was brined in Gigalupin, which is releasing tomorrow, which we got a little samples here and go into that later. But after it's brined, and then you also made homemade bacon.
Yeah,
starting with a raw pork belly.
That might put this chili over the top.
Yep.
It was really incredible.
And then glazed with our maple barrel rye whiskey, which is the rye whiskey that we finished off in a bourbon maple syrup barrel. And then,
that was a really nice touch, man. I mean, that added such a nice, not only flavor, but texture
absolutely.
To the chili, too, as well. I loved it.
It's drier, crispier, you know, so it's like a contradiction to most chilies, which are all very soggy. All the ingredients are soft, you know, so you add this in there, and it gives you a nice little, you know.
Gives you that contrast.
Nice little contrast. And it's a glaze with the maple, risk whiskey, and some brown sugar.
So, Dan.
Yes, sir.
You were a food professional.
Correct.
in your former life. What was your take on the chili?
Again, without going too far.
We're gonna concentrate hardcore on the chili in segment four.
Well, I mean, you and I spoke about it, and one of the things that, specifically with the bacon, is that I told you, which I'm shocked that you didn't like punch me in my face after I said, is I don't really love bacon.
No one's perfect.
I think it overpowers things. It's great on its own, but when I see it on stuff, I get a little nervous that it's just going to overtake it. This was phenomenal. This bacon was absolutely delicious. And it went, like you said, the texture went really, really well with the chili. I think it kind of helped kind of go up against some of the sweetness, probably from the beer and the chicken. I'm loving hearing that, that was where I was kind of getting some of those notes from. But it was really good. And when you say white chicken chili, I think there a lot of people have an idea in their mind of what they think that is. That wasn't what this was.
It was really unique. Different. And I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of the white chicken chili. You know, it's not really my thing, but I loved this batch.
Most of them are really a green chili base, too.
Yeah.
You know, and this wasn't green chilies. No,
yeah.
this wasn't that type of thing.
And a lot of them don't bring the heat.
Right.
You know, a lot of white chicken chili, it's very mild.
Yep.
You guys
bland.
Used chipotles, I believe, right? Chipotle peppers in there.
Yep.
Really got a nice smoky heat to it.
Exactly. It's more tastes like chili.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't good, I think is what we're all trying to say.
Yeah.
Most of them are not good. This one was good.
I just prefer to say it doesn't hit my palate.
And I will say everybody...
chili that doesn't suck.
All the chilies, all you guys had like different components to put on top. I went pretty basic or nothing on all of them initially. The little mini cornbread pretty awesome. That was like a super cool touch. Like I want to steal that and use that at home.
It's got a little bit of jalapeno in there, and then do the thing I always love, but I'm never really able to do or pull off. It's got little kernels of actual corn in there.
Yeah.
I always mess that up. I can never.
How do you mess up a kernel of corn?
I don't know, man.
He has a hard time with the can opener.
Well, that's part of the problem is I'm not the one who's in charge of shopping at the house. So it's like if there is corn, it's like creamed corn or like substandard. It's not. I'm just not. Yeah. Could never pull it together.
Yeah, and you could tell that this stuff was just picked fresh off the plant week.
Right.
Yeah. Shaved off the cob. Yeah. You could tell. Yeah. It's wonderful.
It's that good.
Definitely organic. Probably free range corn.
GMO free range. Yeah, absolutely. Make sure. No corn was wild farmed in the making of this chili.
Well, let's talk about the beer that you did brine the chicken that you made the white chili out of. It's called
Gigalupin.
Gigalupin. What's a Gigalupin?
Gigalupin is a triple IPA.
That's awesome.
So it is big, it's bright, it's 10% ABV, 100 plus IBUs.
Wow.
Super hopped, super dry hopped. And yeah, just very bright, a lot of citrus notes to it. And totally quaffable.
I couldn't tell you the last 10%. Time I had a triple IPA. I think the last one I had was maybe was a green flash. I think I want to say I had their.
They had a triple. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a triple. What was the name? It was
okay.
Green Bullet maybe or something. I can't remember the name of the beer, but it was good. Yeah. But you don't see too many triple IPAs anymore.
For the layman right. out there, what makes an IPA a double or a triple? What is the criteria that elevates it like that?
What you do basically when you imperialize anything, and a double IPA really isn't a double IPA. That term has just been adopted. It's really IIPA. Imperial India Pale Ale.
Okay.
So you got two I's in there, so they call it a double IPA.
Makes sense.
But when you imperialize something or double it, basically you're making what it is that makes it that style more prominent. In an IPA, the hops are the showcase. So you increase the amount of hops, and you increase the alcohol content as well. Same thing for an Imperial Stout. Imperial Stout, basically you add more grains, more roastiness, more darkness, and increase the alcohol content at the same time. So you go into a regular IPA, around 6%, you know, anywhere from 5 to, well, you get as low as 3, really, to, you know, 6.5%, 7% is a regular IPA. Then you get 7 to 9-ish, you're talking about a double IPA. 10 to 12, you're looking at a triple IPA. And above that would be a quadruple IPA.
When do
Imperial
barley wine,
octuple yeah. IPA.
Yeah. IPA.
Yeah, IPA.
At some point, it becomes distilling, right?
Yeah, it's wine.
We should talk about the distilling side of the house. You brought with a petition today that I happily signed. A petition to allow cocktail rooms to coexist with tap rooms. Tell us about that a little bit.
Dan, have you had a chance to sign? Would you like to?
Let me look over your literature.
So, what we have basically is in the state of Minnesota, there is a law that says no entity or location will simultaneously hold a brewer's taproom license and a micro distiller's cocktail room license. I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically that.
Right.
A lot of people say, oh, that's horrible. Why do these prohibition laws still exist? Well, newsflash, this law was written 5 years ago. This is protectionism put in by the liquor lobby, which is the coalition of distributors, retailers, and drivers, in trying to protect their interests.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's one of those things where this is a very quickly evolving industry. And if we don't evolve with it, we go by the wayside.
Yeah.
So we're fought tooth and nail by these coalitions every step of the way. Whenever we want to make a new freedom for the craft industry, you know, that it's always just a big no, no, no. So we're working with legislators now to create this change in the law, which, again, it's a change in the law that should have never been there in the first place.
Right.
This is one sentence that protects them from one person, me. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in the state of Minnesota doing this. So they're concerned about what I'm going to do. You know, and, you know, we talk with them, and they're, oh, it's not you. We're concerned about what this could open up. I'm like, what? What's it going to open up? You know, I mean, there is nothing that's going to open up. Your fear of imaginary negative consequences is unfounded.
Yeah.
Well, what if the big guys come in and do this? Well, it's like, well, the big guys would have done it decades ago in the places that already allow this. This isn't the only state. There's no way that Diageo is waiting just for Minnesota to change to make this possible, to swoop in and start it in all the other dozens of states too, or just in Minnesota, and put everybody out of business. Also, the state of Minnesota already protects against that, because only a micro distillery can have a cocktail room license.
Yeah.
Diageo is not a micro distillery. None of the big guys are micro distilleries. So we are already protected in this state by the laws as they exist today. So the arguments are completely unfounded.
So if folks want to support this freedom and this, you know, expanding legislation, where can they go to make a difference?
What you can do is you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or via email, sign up, and we will walk you through the steps of contacting your legislator and letting them know that you want to see this happen, that you support us and Bedford Distillery in making this law change.
Why don't you give out that information, you know, your handles on Twitter, Instagram, etc.
Yeah, Facebook, it's Bedford Distillery, and Instagram is also Bedford Distillery, and on Twitter, it's Bedford Distiller.
All right,
so
great.
Bedford Distillery minus the Y. It's one of those things where we need the people to speak up for this to actually happen.
We are creating an advocacy page, too. It's the same thing with Sunday sales. You know, anytime you're going to, you know, liberalize any of these laws and add more, you know, they got to hear from people. It's got to be a groundswell. There's legislators aren't going to be motivated to act on something like this on their own.
Right. I mean, the legislators do their job. They do what the people ask them to do.
Yeah.
It's just that right now there's more people telling them not to support us than there are people telling them to support us.
Yep.
Because these liquor coalitions, it's a big group. It's lot of people.
They're in their office every day. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't hear from everyday voters every day. They hear people who walk in and say, I support.
Well,
this
I think
many
the big
people.
Difference is they don't hear from consumers.
Yeah.
They hear from industry people.
Right.
And industry people want to keep, you know, they have value in protecting the status quo because they're doing well with the way things are.
Yeah.
But consumers, you know, if you go up and you ask any consumer, hey, would you like to be able to go to a tap room and also be able to get it? Of course.
Yeah.
Of
absolutely.
Course they would.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for spearheading this effort, man.
Yeah,
we appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Someone's got to do it, and I'm wielding the machete.
There you go.
So that's
always great to see you.
Yeah, you
always
too.
Great to have you on the show. This Gigalupin is dynamite.
It's out
tomorrow.
Thank
you very much. Yep, releasing tomorrow in the tap room right away when we open at 2:30, and it'll be in liquor stores and your friendly neighborhood bar the following week.
It's dynamite. Keep an eye out for it. Gigalupin from Bedford Distillery. Thanks so much, man. Great to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Cheers.
We'll be right back with the final segment. We'll find out who
wins the chili throwdown.
Yeah, who gets to go home with the belt.
We'll be back after this.
It's the bacon.
On the Minnesota Beercast, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5.
Americans are always on the move. They're in the car or at the office or working around the house. Americans refuse to sit still. So how do you connect with all those moving targets? Easy, with radio. Radio reaches 93% of Americans every week, more than Google, Facebook, and even television.
I really, really enjoy coming here, and love that they are so gracious hosting our chili cook-off event for the second year in a row.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to be welcomed in here. Nice to have some chilies. Nice to, you know, contribute towards the Finnegan's reverse food truck.
Yep.
Have some fun with some friends and some chili and some beer. And
so we're going to find out in this final segment. We're going to find out the People's Choice vote. Plus, we've got Jess Fleming from the Pioneer Press.
Hi there.
Making a return appearance on the Beercast.
That's
second
right.
time at the Chili Cook-Off.
That's right.
So we have and Chef Dan Parker, of course, professional food critics and chefs judging our chili.
That's right.
I'm a little nervous.
We locked them in
a little nervous.
And made them come to a consensus.
A two-person consensus.
Whose chili was superior between mine and Drew's? I think.
Well, we had five. We had Modest. We had Schmitty. We had Drew. We had Bauhaus, and we had Bedford Distillery. All brought chilies. So you had five chilies to choose from and to taste.
Oh, and so we were to consider all five of them
You guys had
we did,
all
we
the
did the categories.
Let's should we walk
did the
through,
categories.
Should we walk through the chilies?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with the order that they were laid out. We'll start with
Hot as Hell Modest.
Okay.
Hot as Hell Modest.
Hot as Hell Modest. So you weren't around for this, but turns out he was two Carolina Reapers in there.
Oh, well, that would explain the coughing and the hiccuping.
Yeah, I had to go blow my nose. It made me sweat. Not that
I
was
coughing
bad,
and
was
hiccuping
hot.
At the same time, and I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
So there you have it.
Yeah, it was. I gave them a lot of credit for the components they put in there. The texture of it, I thought it was nice. But yeah, the heat was definitely there. It was a little over the top for my taste, and I love heat.
So do I.
But obviously, that's what he was going for.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Chili number two was our very own Schmitty's.
Yep.
A pulled pork, a delicious pulled pork extravaganza.
Why do you keep doing air quotes when you say chili when you're talking?
All right. So here's what the deal is. I judge a lot of this kind of stuff. And was it a traditional chili?
No.
Probably not.
Nope.
Was it delicious? Hell yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
It was the thing I wanted to eat more of the most. So kudos for that.
Thanks.
And I am also going to say that as a judge, I'm not always going to just like let you put me in a box or let you put anybody in a box. So just
nobody
keep that
puts,
in mind.
Nobody
Schmitty.
Puts baby in a corner.
Right.
Yeah, I think the flavor was absolutely incredible. My first bite, I told you this, like, it just hit me wrong with that habanero, and so I was really afraid. That was like really, really hot. But I kept going back to the point where, like, just drinking the brothy liquid that was with it.
Yep.
Was super enjoyable. I told you if I could throw a shot of vodka in there, that would have been like a drink.
I'll give you a quick rundown of the make of it. I sous vide the pork butt for about 24 hours with some lime and some like three or four different pepper rubs, garlic, salt and pepper. Then I cubed it up, seared it off, and then stewed it overnight with another marinade and some more peppers and chilies. So it came out hotter than I wanted it to. So then I added some more lime to it, lime juice this afternoon, kind of toned it down a little bit. And it came out, I thought, still pretty warm, but I was pretty happy with the way it came out.
Yeah, one thing that Justin and I both talked about was the texture and consistency of the pork. It held up, it didn't shred out. The
yep.
sear on there was magical. It was really, really delicious. And what I loved is that it didn't get that dry, tacky, like, pork thing. It was really good.
Cool.
It was really good.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Next up was my chili. I'll run it down a little bit. I use a combination of pork, beef, and chorizo, and I like to throw little smokies in there because everybody loves chili dogs. So I put the dogs in the chilies.
It's a nice touch.
I was like, I'm chewing on. I'm like, is this a Slim Jim? What the hell?
Snap into it, Dan.
I get a little package of the little smokies, and I cut them up. And
I don't
then just,
think
you know,
I got
your
any
traditional
smokies in mine. Oh. I need to go back.
Oh yeah,
you got gypped on the smokies.
I did.
And my secret weapon is that cilantro pesto.
Yeah.
It's cilantro,
super
sour
delicious.
Cream, garlic, olive oil, lime,
yep.
all blended up together. I love
Very
the
good.
Flavor of that.
Yep.
Very good.
It's really good. You guys, if I'm going to go to a chili cook-off made by any two humans from now on, it's you guys.
Got to be a couple,
okay?
yeah. couple fat
you
guys if you're going to
really
go to a chili cook-off.
And making the chili.
Then next we had Bauhaus's chili. How would you describe that one? It was his first chili ever. I don't know if you caught that.
What?
You weren't over here.
That's
his first
yes,
chili he's ever
that
made.
Shocked me. Absolutely shocked me.
Well, Dan pointed out that it had a little bit of a mole quality. And
I don't know what that was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says he used too much of their Stargrazer beer. And which he did not use too much. It's perfect. So it gave it that like rich, kind of like malty.
Yeah.
But then it melded with those spices to get that mole thing going on.
It was really good. I mean, it was like smooth and silky and spicy, but not too spicy. I liked
the
it.
The texture of his a lot.
It was really,
for sure.
Yeah.
It was a complex little number.
And just for the listeners, there were some technical difficulties with those guys and their crock pot and not maintaining the heat that they wanted, so they may not have gotten the
yep.
maybe some of the I don't know, viewer's choice or whatever we're calling
second,
it here.
Second year in a row that the Chili's had to warm up for Bauhaus. So, I mean, they're the hosts, but second
Somebody
year in a row
needs to invest in a new dang crock pot.
You gotta learn from these kind of errors. You know what I'm saying? And finally, we had Bent Brew Stillery who brought sort of the oddball, the white chicken chili with the maple bacon we talked about and the little jalapeno cornbread muffin, which I thought was just a
Next
really tasty, nice touch on top.
Yeah, that bacon was spot on.
All right.
Oh, and by the way, Jess, again, he made that bacon completely from scratch.
What?
Yeah, from pork belly.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So here's what I have to say about that. While I appreciate the accoutrement, I did feel like it was sweet on sweet a little bit.
It was really
sweet on sweet. I would agree.
So
really rich.
In chili, I agree with a little bit of sweetness. I felt like the combo was maybe a little too much. So if they could learn something from this experience, it would be, you know, do one savory component and one sweet.
Yeah.
Don't do both sweet. However, on their own, both are delicious.
Yeah.
And the chili itself was good. So, mm-hmm. you know.
And I agree it was a little sweet on sweet, but it did have... the chipotle, the smoky heat from the chipotle, I think, was it came through really nicely.
I could have used a little bit more of that, and because I had Schmitty as a modest first. Like, but I could have definitely used a little bit of that more chipotle in there for sure. But it was, again, not like the quintessential white chicken chili. I think it was really creative what they did. They actually cooked the chicken in this beer that we're drinking right now.
Okay.
So maybe that's where some of the sweetness came from as well.
Maybe.
So,
yeah.
So Dan, you tallied up all the brewer votes. Who won the votes among the brewers?
All right, so the winner for the, what are we calling, is it viewer's choice? Because, like, nobody was watching anything. Well,
like, people's choice.
People's choice. Thank you. Yeah, these are all people's. These people's chose number three, which is Bad Brew Distillery.
Yeah.
Chicken chili.
I thought it was mine.
No, you said three.
Those are two separate categories.
I had a moment.
There were two categories.
Two separate categories.
All right, I got you.
No, you guys are in a head-on head.
We also have a people's choice between you and I, and then we've got the judge's choice between you and I.
All right.
Right.
So, I was confused.
So as many categories in this.
Lots of categories. We didn't really plan this out very well.
Everybody gets an award.
It's very confusing.
Everybody gets a trophy.
No, not everybody gets an award.
You get the hottest one.
The only one that matters is judge's choice.
I agree with Jess.
All right, so let's cut to the chase then. Judges, between Drew and I, we kind of made you two come to consensus.
Yeah.
And
there's only two of us.
Wait, you don't want all the rest of this?
Not even an odd number. Like,
all right. We're just going to get to the meat. This should be like the one that we end off on.
We're almost out of time.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say that it wasn't an easy choice. You guys both kill it in the chili category. However, Drew won last year. And that's if true. I were to, I was judging it on which one I wanted seconds of.
And good way to judge it.
For me, it went to Schmitty.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. But there's two of these judges, so we got to hear what Dan has to say.
Yeah, for me.
Who did you get seconds of?
I did indeed get seconds of Schmitty's. Drew, I've had your chili before. I walked in here thinking this was going to be a walkaway award for you. And I had to have Jess talk me into the idea that Schmitty's was a chili.
Right.
Because I'm still not convinced.
You have to be convinced that it is a chili.
But
the flavors overtook what my concerns were. This year we're gonna hand that bad boy to Schmitty.
Oh,
but the people chose Drew.
That's different right. people's
that's
choice.
True.
So it's like right. a, it's like a,
all right.
you know.
Well, we'll cut that baby
split.
In half.
Yeah, so people's choice was Drew. Our choice was Schmitty on that side. People's right. choice was Ben Brew Distillery.
So it was a tie. We'll call it a tie.
Bauhaus on our
we
side.
Did.
So
we did
I'm 1-0-1.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank
you so
much,
guys. We really appreciate it.
Tasting our chilies.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
thank you for making them.
It was a lot of fun.
We're only 364 days away from the next chili throwdown.
Yay.
Somebody put it on Bauhaus's calendar to warm up the crock pot 363 days from now.
I'm going to buy them a new crock pot.
We'll all pitch in. We'll get them a new crock pot.
But we did pick them as our favorite, so they overcame.
It was lukewarm, but still good.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thanks to Bauhaus. Thanks to Modest and to Bent for coming out. And thank you guys for listening. Make sure to go to the Minnesota Beercast Facebook page. Check out that itinerary to Germany, and we'll be back with a brand new episode next week.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks,
cheers.
Jeff. We'll see you.
Cheers. And some of my...